Welcome, welcome. Welcome to all. We're going to give our guest a few more minutes to pop in, and then we're going to get going with our session tonight. I want to welcome those who were on time. So I want to respect your time. And we're going to introduce our panel, and then we're going to go through and have a discussion about today's topic, Your Money Matters. So, give us about 2 minutes and 2 seconds to let a few more guests hop in, and we'll get going at exactly 6:05. Thank you so much. Get it going. Well, okay, family, we're gonna go ahead and get it going. And as more guests pop on, I'll just let them in and they'll join our discussion. So today is session one of Financial Literacy, Your Money Matters. And we're on a platform called the Community Education Network. And this is a platform of educators and community individuals that come together a couple of times a week. And we talk about what's new, what's going on in the community, and different topics. We have different people from the community, different experts, different elders come on and talk about what's going on in their side of the world, sharing some of their expertise. So far today, we have a couple of guests on the call. We have, again, the Professor Amin Ra, we have Brother Mashinda, and we have Sister Taliba. Thank you all for taking the time to come out tonight. I'm going to go ahead and open up and share my screen and talk to you all about today's topic, Your Money Matters. So, can you all see my screen? Can you see the screen? All right. So if you can see the screen,
Yes.
all right, awesome. So understanding your money matters. Again, this is a topic that's very important to me. You know, I'm part of a mission. We're on a mission to make sure that at least, 10,000 families get this information in their home. That we want to make sure that our families value their lives a little more, that we begin to understand the value of who we are as individuals and as a community. And we begin to send this message younger and younger so that our young people, our middle-aged people, our old people, our elders, that everybody can begin to take their lives seriously. During the pandemic, everybody was off on Black Lives Matters, Black Lives Matters. And yes, Black Lives Matters, all lives matters. And we better really make sure we understand what that really means. So, out of the pandemic, this platform came about, this opportunity for us to get together. So today's topic is something, like I said, that's very passionate to me. I've been on this journey now for at least 30 years of making sure that I understand how my money works, coming from a family where we were poor. I grew up on welfare. I had to share clothes with people. It was just tough growing up financially in my home. The financial climate was very, very challenging. My mom worked part-time, dad was a musician on the road, wasn't there. So it was really tough in my house, and we didn't have a lot of conversations about your money matters. Even though my parents were entrepreneurs at one point in time, but by the time I started growing up, I didn't see any of that. I saw welfare, food stamps, so I didn't understand money concepts and money topics. How many of you all in your families, if you put a number one or two in the chat room, how many of you grew up discussing money matters in your home? Put a one or a two in the chat room to let me know. One, yes, we've been talking money. Two, no, we didn't talk money in my household. Because we have to think about what we're doing in our homes for our children. So that's why this topic is so important to me, understanding your money matters. So I'm thankful for your time today. And it is going to be interactive. So get ready to, answer questions, chime in, get ready to take notes and ask questions. Okay. So I'm going to start the presentation. And again, as you see, we're going to be talking about your money matters. who we are and what we do. So I'm part of a big mission. You know, I'm an independent agent. I'm with a independent marketing organization, and we are here on a mission to make sure that some basic financial concepts get in the hands of some basic average people, because we are important as well. Okay. So who we are and what we do, the company that I am partnered up with, that I have the opportunity to do business with, is Census. And Census is one of the top marketing, independent marketing organizations in America. Okay. Census is a company that has allowed me to connect with people. I was connected with my elder through this company and able to help put my financial house in order. And through this company, I'm able to help other families get and put their financial life in order. And again, like I said, we're mission driven. We help people with their financial decisions. As you get older and older in life, you know, we're going to go through the X curve a little bit later in our slide. As you get older and older in life, you know, you accumulate a lot of assets as you're growing, as you're in the market working, and your debt is high, but your goal is to pay down your debt. You know, that's the goal. So by the time we're 60, 70, 80, ready to retire, we don't have as much debt, you know, that we've scaled down. Our duties of parenting and raising children has, you know, come to a different phase in life. We're not so much, you know, directly doing it. So a lot of our responsibilities again go away. So our need for certain things decrease. Okay. So through this company, I'm able to help sit down with families and help them understand that journey. So again, Census is a company where people come from different backgrounds and they work together to help families. We have a concept called a triangle of trust, where we work with one another to sit down with one another to be able to help families look at their situation, set financial goals, and attempt to achieve them. Couple of things that we teach. We teach three main things, and they come up in several different ways. So the first thing is we teach four steps to financial strength. We're going to go through some of those today. You know, we teach basic financial concepts, like I mentioned, inflation, you know, talking about savings, some basic things that, you know, we deal with as adults that we need to make sure we understand actually what we're doing and that we're making the best decisions for our financial future for ourselves and for our family. And then lastly, we teach basic financial concepts. Through Census, I've been able to partner as an independent life insurance agent with Fortune 500 companies to help families put living benefits in place for themselves, put plans in place for themselves so they can build a solid financial future. So these are some of the things that we teach. So we're going to spend a little time on this chart, and here's I'm going to ask for some of your participation. This is a standard industry concept called the X curve. And like I said, we teach basic financial concepts. And one of the concepts, again, is understanding your money in and your money out. So here we're talking about protecting income and protecting families. So, as I mentioned, this X curve, the theory is we journey into the world of work after college, after high school, around the age of 25. We enter this journey called the world of work. And there's a thing out there, like a discussion that you work 40 years for 40 hours to retire with only $40,000. You know, that's a lot of time to invest, to barely to be able to take care of yourself after 40 years of working in this world of work. So what we want to do, and through this mission and through this platform, I want to help families understand what to do in that 40 years. So as that 40 years come to an end, they have more than just $40,000 that they are retiring with that they can live off of, and they don't become a financial burden to their children or to their community. So in addition, at the age 25, again, your liabilities, you know, are really, really high. You can see you might have family, you might be purchasing homes, cars, all these things to as you're in this world, as you're journeying through life. But as we get towards 65 and we start to get in our age, those liabilities usually go away. They're either paid off, we sell them, we get rid of them, we refinance, but the liabilities go down. And that's the theory of this X curve. So let me ask you all a question. I see we have a couple of age ranges here on the call today. How does this X curve apply in your life? Would you say that by 60, your liabilities have decreased? Anybody want to chime in? Okay. Have your assets increased? So by the time you're 65, do you have more assets than you do liabilities, or do you have more liabilities than you do assets? So again, yes, sir. Definitely.
Well, I'm retired. So, I almost missed the train as far as education and literacy. And it just so happened that the job I had took out for retirement. I never would have let them take it out, but they took it out. You understand? And put it up, and you couldn't get access to it. And then I get Social Security. And so, I could go out and get some supplemental income, but because of health issues, I don't do it. I'm on dialysis. So I'm in a perplexed situation as far as ambition. I just have to work with what I have. Me and my wife, because all the kids are gone. And, we wanted to downsize, but the house is written so high, it's just as high as the mortgage that we got. And then you got to deal with the possibility of them going up on rent more. Even if you're going to a low income place, they got inspections. And you're around a bunch of people, when you got your own house, you got land, you can go in your backyard, you can do what you want to do. You feature garages, storage, whatever. But, the hardest thing is to start throwing stuff away, getting rid of clutter. And then, so my situation is real different. This, to me, a lot of this is for young people who have to plan their future. But for cats like me, the only alternative is to increase assets.
Absolutely.
Decreasing is. I mean, all you're doing is all you want to do is get your living trust in order, and your burial, living trust and any services that you want for your burial. If you're gonna be cremated, if you're gonna have a funeral, and talk it over with your family members, and start preparing for that,
Yes, sir.
because as Black people, it's hard to get to the 80s. I'm 5 years away.
And
That's where I'm at.
that's the point of this. That's the purpose of this conversation, to get more young people to have this dialogue now with family members, because it's going to become a family discussion, because eventually the children are going to have to support and be there to help their families. And so the more we can prepare young people with understanding this X curve, then they can use that time to prepare. So thank you, Professor, for chiming in. So, four steps to create financial strength. This is the core of what this whole mission is about. This is the core. It's making sure that we understand these four concepts, from managing our money wisely to protecting your income and your family. What does that look like? To accumulated assets and understanding how that looks, knowing that they're enemies to building wealth, such as inflation, compound interest, taxes, and risk. And throughout our series this month, we're going to get a chance to get into these concepts more and more. And yes, invite some young people in, 20, leaving high school, so that they can begin. Because once they enter into this money-making arena environment, what I call the world of work, it's moving really fast. It's moving really fast. It's moving so fast, we can't even slow down to see where we are in building our strength. It's so bad in our culture as a whole that, once you leave high school, we don't think learning takes place anymore. The whole concept of being a lifelong learner is like has went over our heads. We don't understand that we still are growing continuously until we in the dirt. We're gonna continue to grow, right? So, like you said, preserving our legacy, putting those trusts in place, making sure we have the burial plans. The earlier we can do that, then the better we can make sure that that goal gets to a reality. So that is the purpose of today, And so I want to ask you all to think about where you are in these four steps. Are you managing your money wisely? Have you created an emergency fund for yourself? Do you know what that means to manage your debt? Oh, do we have financial goals? We were just on a Zoom about, an hour ago. And one of the things the lady talked about is, we enter this world and we start working and we don't even know how much money we need. We interview with jobs and people offer us a salary and we take that salary and we have to fit our life into that salary. We don't even really know what we need. We accept what's given to us and we live our life around that. So our goal when we sit down with families is to make sure that people actually set financial goals. Like every goal, your SMART goals have a dollar attached to it. Like how much do you need to plan for education for your child? How much do you need to start your business? How much do you need for your home? How much is inflation going to go up? How much should we prepare? Where can we put our money so that it's not eaten up by an inflation? And that when we access it, it's already been, the taxes have been paid, it's tax-free, that we're not paying money on top of paying money on top of paying money. So these are some things that we're going to be diving more into and that I'll be able to meet with families and talk with people about individually about their process. Understanding your money matters, accumulating assets. Okay, again, I talked about some of these things, but now I want us to think about it. When we think about risk, what are we thinking about? What is our understanding about risk? Do we really understand what that means? I know, Professor, you mentioned our jobs give us make us put into retirement, and we don't even have an understanding. I agree with you, And I'm thankful for this forum that I was able to find a mentor that actually helped me understand some of the decisions that I was making. But yes, your job will sign you up for a 401k and you don't even know what that money's doing. And you get a statement and it shows that it's growing. You're retired. Who else is retired on the call? Anybody else retired? Brother Mashinda, you retired yet?
That's a negative.
Okay, so we still out
Can
there
you
putting.
hear me?
I can hear you. Yes, sir.
I'm still working. I've been on the job a little while, but I'm up the road, and I'm hearing what you're saying. Some of the things that you're talking about. When I was much younger, I didn't have the respect for this. Well, I mean, I don't know. I didn't pay attention to it. The credit ratings and the understanding compounded interest and all the terminology, the things that you're discussing here tonight. And but it was at some point where the light came on, and I had to, because when I was in college, man, they was throwing out all these credit cards and everything, and I was Mr. Happy Hour. Hey, let's go out. I got it. But hey, somebody's paying for that, so I had didn't have a I wasn't too knowledgeable or paying attention to what I was doing. But so now I'm saying it. Then at the, and then later, a few years later, I kind of consolidated everything and started understanding the importance of a credit score and some other things, and started studying other things. But yeah, so But you asked me, was I retired? No, I'm not retired, but I am, putting some things in place, investing in some properties for some passive income, to help me out when I'm in retirement, and trying to leave some kind of, like, say, generational wealth, as much as I can to, my son, my nephew, and the other people that I love, that kind of thing. Me and my wife, we're working on a few projects. So, but anyway, I'm gonna listen to you. But no, I'm not retired yet. But this is interesting.
But it's perfect, Brother Mashinda. You hit on great most of the topics that I wanted us to kind of have an open dialogue about, because there is a spectrum of ages on the call. So we do have working folks, we do have young folks entering the world of work, starting off on their journey. So it is important for us to hear, what different things are in the portfolio. What are we doing to, what is a portfolio? How do you even start a portfolio? Sister Amber, did you want to chime in?
I just wanted to speak. Obviously I'm very young. I'm nowhere near, retiring yet. But I just think, these topics are so important because I worked, from the time I was 17, I worked the same job for 13, 14 years, and I was a manager for many of those years. And they offered 401k, but I didn't have the guidance and I didn't, look into it myself to even know about it. And I just think back now, I missed out on all those years, that I could have been putting money away for my future just because I didn't have the knowledge and I didn't, really look into it or invest into it. And it's definitely important, and it's something that I wish I would have, paid more attention to back then, because I would have been in a much better place now if I had paid attention to it and put into that. Because I put in the work, but I didn't get anything from it because I didn't know about it. So
Right.
I definitely appreciate this information and that you're doing this, because our youth definitely need this at a younger age to get us ahead of the game, sooner. So
Right. And
that was
that
just
was the purpose of the Money Making March that the EMC Square program did with the youth, that they had a chance to learn about money and talk about money concepts. We have this program that I'm partnered up with in addition to Census, where I'm helping families understand different things around charter schools and academic planning. But one of their lessons was Money Making March. And so the kids got to, deal with the art of negotiation, about commerce, about economics. And so, yeah, for parents, it's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call. And it's not too late, even no matter where we are in the game, we have to understand these four concepts and how they're impacting us every day. Inflation. I think she said it was up to like 8 to 9%. Oh my God. I didn't quite understand that either growing up. I know I grew up in the 70s in New York, and I know that in the 70s, inflation was high. I just like remember how crazy high the inflation was in the 70s. And I feel like we're in that same time now, that the inflation is so high that, you can't afford a loaf of bread. And if you eat eggs, oh my God. Right. So yeah, we're going to think about some of the things that we didn't do, but today we could take action. We can set up those times to meet with your trusted professional, financial professional. You can have your personal financial checkup and look at your statements to see, are they in the right place when we talk about risk? Yes, Professor Amira?
It seems as if this is like thinking outside the box of the tradition or the culture, having a different approach to the handling of money. Because this country is a debt country. It's trillions of dollars in debt to itself. And there's so much advertisement and enticement for poor people to give up their money on trinkets. They have so many holidays. And don't have five or six kids with birthdays. I mean, you rent a place and the rent's supposed to be 1600, but when you add cable in, you add your electricity bill, and you add your gas bill, if they're not paying on them bills. And now your rent is up to 2000. And because of all the other things, if you want an extra parking place, sometimes you have to pay for it. So I mean, it's hard to to get into, I mean, I'm studying it, but practicing it, because this culture, your kids and your family, you want to do things and make them happy while they're young. So you give a big birthday party, have a clown, have all this stuff, balloons everywhere for the infants. And then the older people, you want to try to get them something substantial, a car, help them with whatever problem they got. It's hard to save and think like this unless you develop the discipline and the courage to say no to yourself and don't be sucked in subliminally to spending, because that's what drives the society: advertisement, envy, and greed. And it's hard to think about, you're in the mall and you see something you want, and you ain't got no money for it, but you're gonna buy it. Or you just want some sweet smelling perfume or cologne, but it's $40. You think. And don't be a gambler, like playing the lotto. Some people are averaging over $500 a week. And then when they win, they think they won something. All they're doing is winning their money back.
That's right.
And when you win, you're winning somebody who lost money. I mean, it's America is their whole goal is to trick you out your money. That's what tax. People say, "I own my house." No, the government own your house. That's why you pay taxes every year.
That's right. Well, we
But
love that instant gratification.
it's a good investment. But and as I conclude, you own your property, and based upon its evaluation, it's an asset, hopefully. But there's a lot to go into that asset, because you're not really borrowing money. You buy where you when somebody finance you, buying it, you're buying their money
That's right.
with the interest.
That's right.
And it's just hard, I mean,
Oh, yeah.
most
It's definitely challenging, Professor, and I don't mean to cut you off.
No.
I agree with you. And again, that's what we are here for, to help with some of that discipline and that changing of mindset. So, Brother Rasaki, I see you had your hand raised for a minute. You want to chime in?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you loud and clear.
So, well, with what Professor Amaraj just said and what you just said, because he said trinkets, that's, a thing that people get caught up in, with the advertisements, the seduction, and then you said we're here to change the minds, and that's what it's about. And I'm glad you're doing this, sister, making it happen, because it's needed. We need more a value system of thinking and not reacting. So it's a real good thing that we change our value systems also as we're getting financially literate, because we have a value system that doesn't make sense, most of us, due to what we've incorporated here in the United States. Things are based off of hype and basically craziness, and we buy into it because we were raised in it. But I'm glad you're doing this, and we need to keep doing it, and we need to change minds. Just what you just said, change minds. That's what it's about. Thank you very much for doing this.
Very welcome. Thank you so much for your mentorship and this opportunity. So I really appreciate it. And yeah, it's a complete shift of mind. We are definitely in a country that promotes consumerism, just a consumerism mentality. just like the employee mentality. It's the same thing. They go hand in hand, you know, trying to become, we are in this age where everybody wants to become an entrepreneur and they want to be a business owner. But in reality, in our mind, we still think that we're on a plantation and we're still employees. We want people to still do stuff for us. You know, when you're a business owner, you know, things are very different. You're responsible for everything. There is no sleep, you know. But when it comes to, you know, consumerism and being attracted to things, we have to basically learn how to control our emotions around our food and our spending, you know, and feed our minds continuously with the right information, you know, copying the right cat, copying the right information. So this is a forum where our children and our grandchildren and our colleagues, our friends can come in and hear some things that to disturb them so that they can then take actions differently. You know, taxes, we mentioned taxes, you know, we mentioned the retirements and all that. Those, the jobs that we're on, we are given these plans, but they're not set up right in a sense that the timing of taxes. So by the time we really get that bulk of money that we worked so hard for 20, 30, 40 years, it still has to be taxed. So you're going to lose about 30 to 40% of what you think you're having. And you might come home with at least living on about 35 to 40% of your income. So again, it's about tax timing, knowing where to put your money, if and how to grow your money. So that's what this conversation is about. Okay. So we're going to go on to the next slide. Again, inflation, we talked about that, you know. During the pandemic, all this money was thrown out, PPP loans, all this money thrown out, all this money thrown out. Somebody going to pay for it. Somebody going to pay for all that. And usually, your W-2 people are going to pay for it. The people who are working jobs that are being taxed and taxed and don't understand taxes and don't understand timing of taxes. They're the ones that are going to pay the price because they're going to work very hard and their income's going to be ate up. And they're going to know how do I correct that? What are some of the ways to you know, avoid or to access your resources tax-free? But our inflation is eating up everything, right? Can y'all talk about some of the areas in your neighborhood or in your community and how you see inflation impacting the Black community? I know we talked about that previously on the Community Education Network. What are some of the ways that you guys see the inflation affecting the Black community?
Food, groceries is killing me right now.
That's right. You know, $100 gets you maybe two items. I don't know, three, four items, one bag, you know, half a bag. Right. Back in the day, you might have got for your $200, you got a whole cart full of groceries. Remember, Saliba, we used to go shopping. We have all this food. Not today.
No, not today.
You better get your garden going. Grow your food.
Yeah.
Gas, right? Main thing. You want to say something, Professor?
See, people spend so much money on fast foods now. You know, times change. You know, we're trying to change people's minds to do things positive, and the system is spending billions of dollars to change their minds. To spend unnecessary. So we're competing with the system that is overwhelming with regards to people. Even when your kids go to school, you got to, you know, fork up cash and so many events. You know, you got kids going to proms and ain't graduating. You know, I mean, you know, I mean, you got, you know, you got, I mean, it's a challenge. Now, this form of education is good. If, you know, if, you know, when we sit down with our families and make a collective effort, you know, I mean, there's always somebody in the family that saved their money, and then there's the other ones that spend their money sometimes, you know. But at the same time, you know, how do you maximize the benefit of managing your money and planning for your future, when the whole concept is eat and be merry, because tomorrow you may die. Live today. That's what New Jack City was about. Even though I'm young, I'm gonna die young. At least I had fun on the way to death. And this hip hop generation, and it's hard because they have so much influence on our other kids. All that bling bling, you see that entertainer. But now, and my point is not that this is impossible, but I'd say you can reach about maybe 5% of your audience. The rest of them is addicted to spending. It's a bad, it's an addiction.
Oh no,
You understand? They get some money, they ready to run to the store or run and buy something they want. And with Amazon and eBay and all that,
And what did
it's
the brother say
rough.
yesterday about distraction? The brother was on the CN. He did a real good talk yesterday. He came up with some words like distraction, some words that you couldn't find in the dictionary. I thought he is absolutely right. You're definitely, you hit by all your social media, all the different things, unplug and turn off. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say, piggyback on, yes, I don't really indulge in buying stuff I don't need, but I looked at my grocery bill. I find myself going to the grocery store more than I go anywhere else. So I realized that going to the grocery store is an addiction. And I'm like, this gotta stop. I'll have all these receipts from the grocery store. And I just had to take a look and say, well, I can't be eating all this no more. And it's not that I eat bad or anything, it's just I'm at the grocery store every day or every other day. So it is an addiction, and it is, I don't know what it is, that propels us to want to go to the grocery store when we out of one item. So it's changing, but it is an addiction.
Yeah, I had to tell Isaiah that the other day. I said, son, I know when you were little, I used to feed you three times a day. I said, but you can't eat three times a day anymore. You a big dude now. You have to change how you eat. Because you can't go to the store as much as you eat. I said, so you have to shift some things. You have to shift some things.
We got to shift a whole lot. It's mentality. It's the way we think. We have to change with the times.
So thank you for contribution. Does anybody else want to say anything in regards to inflation and how it's affecting in their area, how it's affecting their home? Okay, I'm going to go on to the next slide. Compound and interest. Interest and compound interest. Now, this was a concept that perplexed me for way into my adulthood. I don't think I fully understood this until probably damn near 50 years old. And this is very important, the impact of in the interest and the compound interest of the things that we do. I really only knew the negative side of compound interest. I didn't understand interest really, period, at all. But even though I studied money, studied things, still just couldn't quite wrap my mind around what that really meant. Buying cars, buying houses, not fully understanding interest. And then understanding it on the debt side, though, understanding that my debt went up quickly, but not understanding why my savings wouldn't go up quickly. Since I've been in the grand circle with the census family, with this group of individuals, I've learned that I need to find savings accounts that have high interest and where to find those savings accounts that have high interest and getting in those interest accounts that have high interest as early as possible and trying to save as much as I can in those accounts as long as I can to get the benefit of, compound interest. So that's something, a formula. I know we tend to have issues around math in our community, and I don't know if it's because it sounds like math and it looks like statistics and it looks like that it freaks us out and we just kind of like don't want to look at it. But this is one of the most powerful concepts that we teach that I think is important for folks to understand. I know from my own children who are all damn near adults or on their way to adulthood, excuse my cussing, but getting them to be able to save and to save properly and to looking at different saving accounts and options that can outpace inflation so that their money can be there and continuously to grow. So again, this is something for us to know how to apply. This is a secret that, certain communities, they get these policies very, very early when their children are very, very young. And they start saving money for their kids really early. And they know how to pull out the money from these accounts tax-free, that somehow we still are behind the eight ball. We don't understand that. So I really want to make sure that I drive home this concept. Interest is the price that is paid to use money. So Professor Amirah, you mentioned that we borrow, we pay to borrow people's money, right? And we pay dearly, 14, 15.
That's what credit is.
That's what
There's
credit
no such thing credit. You're buying money.
you buying money.
That's what credit is. And like you said, the interest, that when people want credit cards, they don't even look at it. It's 29% interest. It's 35% interest. And then there's an annual fee. And then there's a withdrawal fee. And you don't read all that because you're happy to get a credit card, And your kids don't understand that. They have all these credit cards on college campuses. I think in Machinda was talking about that the other day. I mean, it'll lure you into it. When somebody say, I'll give you a $500-$700 credit card and you in college or you a youngster, and your credit ain't bad yet. And then next thing you miss a couple of payments and now your credit is gone, and it's hard to get it back. It's easy to come down, but it's hard to build it back up.
That's right. So this is one of the most powerful.
We need financial literacy,
Yes.
and we need to educate our young people and whoever else we can get, our family members and whatever. To begin to deal with investment and entrepreneurship, and because this is a capitalist society, and that just means making money off money.
That's it. But
That's
when we
all.
understand how money doubles, we have to understand that rule of 72. And we have to understand that it doubles against us or it doubles for us. So we need to be able to be in a place where we can have access to resources, to policies, to portfolio pieces that compound at an 8 to 10% rate. So then you get your doubling a lot quicker than you would at a bank. Banks don't give you not even 1% on anything that you have there. So this is something that we need to make sure that we learn about, that we study, and that we can apply by actually putting our money, if we're going to save it, in places that you can get that compounding effect. Okay. So here's an example of what that rule of 72 looks like. Again, you can all read, you're all very intelligent people, but what I want to show you is the difference between the 4% accounts, the 6% accounts, and the 8% accounts. This is where we need to understand that interest. And for example, if you all start up at the same age, 34, and you all start with the same $10,000, and you all put your money in different accounts that have different rate of return, right? Some get 4%, some get 6%, and some get 8%. Same amount of time, right? But you see that 4%, you only get your money to double. It only gets to, wow, $40,000 between 34 and 70. Yet that 6%, it goes to $80,000 based on that 6% and an ability to compound, to double itself. Now you have those 8% accounts that double And this would double 5 times versus 4 times versus 3 times. So it's about finding those accounts that have the 8% or higher where you can get that impact of that doubling effect. So we're going to talk about where those accounts are and what those look like. You know, do we find them at the bank? You know, do we find them in the stock market? You know, do we find them in cash value life insurance policies? You know, these are the places that we're going to talk about where money grows. And we talked about taxes. You know, we're winding down with our session tonight. Got a few minutes left. We talked about taxing. We talked about timing of taxing. You know, I mentioned, you know, when you earn it, they tax it. You know, you spend it, they tax it. You invest it, they tax it. You die, they tax it. So your $1 is going to be taxed at least 4 times in a regular taxable account, minimum. Right? Think about it. Where are these places? Think about it. Think about it. You know, where do you have your money? Is it being taxed 4 times? You know, my youngest daughter, she learned about Black Wall Street. And she said, Mom, it took them, you know, X amount of years before money would leave the community. The dollar stayed in that community a long time. Now I know why people were upset with them because they kept their money. I said, yeah, that money stayed in that community and didn't leave that community for a long time, right? Today, our dollars leave our community right away. We earn it and it goes to someone else's community right away. So teaching the timing of taxes is the most powerful thing that you can do for your money because that's where you're going to supercharge yourself. Okay. Again, back to the timing of taxes. Tax now. Each year you pay income taxes on anything you earn, right? Just your ordinary income. Tax later, well, that's what Professor Amin-Ra, that's what we had as educators. You know, you work a job, you know, Brother Mashinda, you probably have one of these accounts now where they're tax deferred. You pay the taxes when you withdraw the money. Again, this concept, I had a lady come in my house and talk to me about this concept, and I didn't know which one was best for me. It was like, oh my God, I didn't quite understand the difference between tax later and tax advantage. And how to use it and how to apply it. I'm thankful for the Grand Circle where I was able to get coached and mentored into understanding these concepts so that I can teach my children, so that I can help with my family's, you know, legacy of building wealth. I want to ask you all, do you all understand what tax advantage is? Do you understand what tax later is? And do you understand what tax now is? How many of you have, again, any type of retirement account, 401ks, you know, 403bs, you know, TSPs, all these different things that your job offers you that they kind of make us get? Say, this is what you do. It falls into tax later. So you grow your money real, real big. You see $600,000, $700,000. You didn't work. You see $800,000. You didn't work all these years. But your uncle, who's not really your uncle, it's really slavery, your uncle, the IRS, they're gonna come and take their chunk. And do we think taxes are gonna go up or down between now and later? What do we think? Up, right? So here we're showing folks how paying taxes on the seed is more beneficial to your dollars that you bring home versus paying taxes on the harvest. So I want you to think about that. Would you prefer to pay your taxes on your seed or on your harvest? Okay, think about that. So I want to go ahead and kind of bring this to a close. And I'm going to stop right here because I want you all to think about those tax timing concepts. And I want you to have a dialogue with me. Call on me. Let's talk. Let's look at where you are. Let's look at your situation and see, is your stuff being taxed now? Is it being taxed later? Or is it tax advantage? Where are you in this tax timing system? Okay. So I want to thank you all for a great conversation. I think we're starting off this series very well. I look forward to seeing you again next Thursday. We'll be having these regularly throughout the month of April, and then these monthly throughout the year on the CEN network. And I want to ask for any elders to give any final closing words before we end it for the night.
Oh, well, I just want to say it's a blessing. It's a double blessing. And it's a conversation that, our family didn't raise us to be fiscally literate. I mean, they were just trying to feed us and clothe us and hope that we get a better job than what they had, raise their grandchildren. And, they didn't. We just, although it seems like we've been out of the Holocaust of enslavement for a long time, we still suffer from the effects of it. And that is understanding the system politically, economically, socially, culturally. We're just trying to live. And so therefore, it's very difficult when you think you is equal to the people that enslave you when they keep secrets and that there's among themselves. That's what segregation is about. They don't want you to see how they live and what they do. They have such an advantage in the system from education. I mean, they got generations that been in college. When they had laws for over 100 years that we couldn't even learn to read. And so it's going to be a little while before we catch up, but as far as really bearing down. But what you're doing is it's a wake up call to what's really important. And as Mashinda was saying about generational wealth, I mean, most people live for today, but tomorrow they may die. And they'd rather take their kids to Disneyland than to put that $100 in a savings account or a U.S. bond to some form. And then we'll play in the yard, and tell them you're sacrificing now. So, like I told my kids, you can work now and kick it later, or you can play now and then have to work later. And so, it's a challenge, to develop the discipline to your children. Just because the kid down the street got a new bike don't mean you need one.
That's
You
right.
understand? And it's a challenge, But I enjoyed the program and I'm looking forward to the next week.
Well, thank you so much. And I challenge all of you, partner up with me. We have a lot of work to do. There is let's see, one, two, three, there's about five of us, seven of us on the call. If each of us in our circles can make sure that we sit down with those in our circles and put this information in their hand and have them think about their behavior, that's a powerful movement. So thank you again. I look forward to working with you all and sharing this message. And peace and blessings. Hotep to the family, and everybody take care.
Okay. Thank
Thank you so
you.
much, Ms. Shabazz, and everyone. Have a great evening.
Good evening.
Thank you. All righty.
All right, Linda, you take care.
All right, see y'all soon. Peace.
And everybody, Amber and Mashinda and Rashiki, I'll get with y'all later.
Thank you. Peace and love.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful evening.
Good night.
Thanks a lot.
All right, good night.